I can put the one that he did.
Yes. The one
by Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Let me download it.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Today is February the 14th, 2013, and it's a very, very special day, not because it's Valentine's Day, but because we're only 1 week away from Savior's Day. I think you thought I was going to say Valentine's Day. And perfect segue into introducing my brilliant and wonderful co-host, our traveling man, Brother Terrence Muhammad. He is joining me, and we both wish you peace, assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Elevated Places. And Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Love is definitely in the air. There's a love for a black man who's almost 80 years old this year, and we will see him deliver the crowning event of Black History Month next Sunday, the 24th, at the UIC Pavilion, Chicago, Illinois. So there's a lot of love on this day today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. This is such a wonderful time to be alive. It's a trying time.
Yeah.
But it is so worth it to be here. And if we can focus on what you just spoke of, Brother Terrence, which is the presence of a divinely guided, enlightened, superhuman being, extraordinary human being, whom God is showing us every step of the way, is empowered to direct us in the right manner, and is on time, even as he delivers a 52-week series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done. And so no matter what we're going through in life, and all of us are being tested and tried in our personal lives, in our relationships, it could be finances, but Allah knows each and every one of us, and he knows our hearts. And so he custom makes our trials to fit us so that we can qualify. So you never know where it's going to come from, but the key in this hour is to keep your eye on the light-giving sun that is in our midst now, and you can't go wrong. And as you just said, feel the love.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so also, before we go further, and I know, Brother Terrence, you have a wonderful report for us in anticipation of the events coming up this week in Chicago, Illinois. I want to open up the microphone for our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ridgely.
Good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. I just am feeling so blessed this evening. I love Elevated Places because of the nature of the conversation and our wonderful, wonderful listeners. Now, this talk show is driven by the callers and those who log in. So you can reach us and not only listen, but talk to us and join the discussion at 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. Now, we also, of course, can accommodate countless listeners by internet. This is an internet program. And so log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, and that will get you on. We already have people starting to queue up, and we're going to have a fascinating discussion tonight, so hold on to your seats. Also, remember, if you visit avaspeaks.com, you can obtain my books and lectures both on DVD and CD. So remember to visit avaspeaks.com. And I am also notifying people who are interested in this program via Twitter and Facebook to join us right now as we get into tonight's discussion. So we're going to start first with Brother Terrence, our man around the nation. And you can update us on what's going on.
Well, thank you, Sister Ava. And once again, we're so excited, and we're just waiting to hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Savior's Day 2013. You can go to NOI.org to learn about Savior's Day and all of the activities. It's going to be wonderful. There's historical bus tours. There's Mother Khadijah Farrakhan Children's Village. There's information on cancer, there's information on health, there's information on the reality of God, relationship, marriage. There's so much that's going on. There's even stuff on hip-hop and gangster rap, you know, and of course we Muslims, we pray, so we're going to have Salatul Juma on Friday. So there's so much going on in Chicago, Illinois. It's at the Conrad Hilton Hotel on Michigan Avenue. You don't want to miss it. You want to be there. And as stated before, once again, the series, The Time and What Must Be Done, NOI.org/The Time, every Saturday night from 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern. We also want to remember that our brother, President Barack Obama, on Tuesday gave his State of the Union address. So I can't wait to hear what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has to say about those things as we continue to hear about the gun violence and the story about our brother in L.A., whether he is alive or whether he is dead, and the things that's going on with the LAPD as we look at the corruption in the police department, not just in L.A., but all across, with the concentration of the movement in New York called Stop and Frisk, or Frisk and Stop. I forgot the word into it, and I messed that up.
Stop and Frisk, I think.
And so those things are going on, and we got to thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also for his love and undying love of black people and loving them more than they may be used by an enemy. And he has shown much love for this beautiful woman that black people love so much, Mary J. Blige. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please get the latest edition of the Final Call newspaper, and you will see on the cover the minister with one of our great artists, Mary J. Blige. And we want to remind everybody, as I close out, this Sunday, you're going to hear part two of the Defender of Farrakhan. You're going to hear from his national spokesperson, not just part one, but part two, from the National Center, Mas Maryam, at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, where she delivers the honor, the best, if not the best, defense of the man in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You will hear from the national spokesperson, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. You do not, I tell you, you do not want to miss it. She's going to set the stage, because the following Sunday, you're going to hear from God's servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So stay tuned. There's a lot going on at Savior's Day. You want to be there, and tune in to NOI.org so you can get all of the information. Make your way to Chicago. We are excited, off the chain, and ready to go.
All praises due to Allah. That is exactly right. Well, that last part, all I can say is I'm humbled, and it is more than a blessing.
Well, you know, brother Terrence didn't say that right, sister.
come on, man.
Your delivery, your defense, your definitive defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last Sunday was off the chain.
That's it, off the chain.
Off the chain. I'm serious.
Praise be to Allah.
Definitive.
All praises due to Allah.
That's right.
Well, Brother Terrence has given us the perfect segue into tonight's discussion, which centers around the current edition of The Final Call and addressing this very serious and insidious assault on Minister Farrakhan. And it's interesting because Brother Terrence and I were talking off the air, and he reminded me it was actually 20 years ago this month that Minister Farrakhan delivered a two-part message, the 21st and the 28th of February, Savior's Day, on the assassination of Malcolm X. And it was part two, which he delivered at Mosque Mariam on the 28th, that in speaking ahead of his appearance, I was responding to some open slander against the minister and his family that had occurred that very morning over the air, over the local radio station there. I think it was WVON. And Brother Terrence was reminding me, I got so passionate and the audience got so intense, and the doors just opened and the minister came out. And so here we find ourselves again, those of us who not only are registered members of the Nation of Islam, but anyone that has consciousness, anyone that loves and cares about black people and our future, there is no way, if you are in your right mind, that you would not come and stand on behalf of a man who more than a half century has put his life and his family's life on the line in our defense, and has been so successful that the U.S. government itself has not been able to calculate how to defeat him. And that in and of itself is proof that he is backed by Allah and his messenger. And so now the latest attack comes with, as one brother said, one thing the enemy does, he loves to dig up graves. He's a grave digger. And so now they have dug up once again the unresolved issue of the assassination of Malcolm X. And the tragedy and the horrific nature and the violence of Malcolm X's death at the age of 39. And we have to keep in mind that the only reason we know who Malcolm is 50 years later, the only reason we came to know Muhammad Ali is because of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
It is his teachings that enlightened these men. It is his teachings that gave us Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so here we are 50 years later, and having been unsuccessful in derailing the Million Man March,
that's right,
by using or trying to use the widow and children. This is how low life these people are. They tried to use the widow and children of a slain black leader to create or to bring about bloodshed in the black community. It's like Sollozzo in The Godfather. You know, we don't want to really kill anybody because, what do you say, blood is expensive. We would rather negotiate, but there is no negotiating with Minister Louis Farrakhan for the future of black people. And so this effort to divide us, they have brought this back again, and this time they tried to use our sister, Mary J. Blige. And once again, Minister Farrakhan foiled their plans. And Dr. Ridgie, if we could start with you, and again, we're at 347-324-5091 for those who want to join this discussion. Dr. Ridgie, you're so thoughtful and analytical, and you're very committed and dedicated to research. And you have written on the motive. And remember,
yes.
Minister Farrakhan tells us, always look for the motive and the intent behind actions. You can't just look at actions. You have to study the intent behind actions. And the question becomes, you know, why is the assassination of Malcolm being resurrected at
yes.
this time?
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I came back into the Nation of Islam to follow the Minister Farrakhan in 1993 because he was being attacked by a resurrected Malcolm X. When they started with the X caps in 91, when Michael Jordan wore into a baseball camp, basketball trial, I knew they was going to resurrect Malcolm to deal with Farrakhan because there's nobody who could out-talk Farrakhan. There's nobody who could argue with him with truth, and he was galvanizing the youth. This is in the early 1990s. He was going all across the country to campuses, to the streets, trying to call it Stop the Killing tour. And Mandela had just been let out in 1990. There was an awakening of black youth towards a political agenda, towards a do-for-self agenda. And so here they come out with the movie, Malcolm X, directed by Spike Lee. And then Minister Farrakhan comes with the Million Man March, and then they come out with this other documentary in 1994 on Malcolm X, the assassin, called Brother Minister, the assassination of Malcolm X. So, and now here we go, 20 years later, when a whole new generation has come about now since the Million Man March, and now they have to poison that generation because Farrakhan is out in the streets with the youth, stopping the killing, stopping the black-on-black crime, and he's also at the colleges. He just announced a new economic development program, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, bringing that back. So he's moving towards an agenda. And so now the whole world is flocking to him, and now they must stop him again. And let me just read something from the files, the COINTELPHO files from the FBI, so that we can understand the significance of why they're trying to stop this man. Let me read. This comes from the book Racial Matters, the FBI's Secret File on Black America, 1960 to 1972, by Kenneth O'Reilly. And he describes the special division of the FBI. Quote, Division 5 also worked to prevent the rise of a messiah, someone who could unify and electrify the militant black nationalist movement. Malcolm X had been the most likely candidate, but his assassination removed that threat. Malcolm was simply the martyr of the movement today. Unquote. Mm. And if you notice this quote, the FBI did not say black messiah. I know when I've heard some people talk about this quote and they say prevent the rise of a black messiah. No, he just said messiah. Because white people, the wise white people, know that the children of Israel, the real children of Israel, are black. They know that the real historical Jesus was black, and they know, according to Revelation, the Christ to come will be black. So they don't have to say black messiah. They know that we are the chosen people, and they're worried about a messiah. And so Malcolm was seen to be a possibility, but he was removed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they've got rid of two birds with one stone. They physically destroyed Malcolm and then destroyed the reputation in some of our people's minds of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So they got two birds with one stone, and now Mr. Farrakhan has come back up, and I got to express this so people can really understand something. when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us and his son Waris Dean took over the Nation of Islam, he took down the Nation of Islam. He took it apart. The Nation of Islam was absolutely dead. He set up another organization after all the properties, everything was sold off. And now Minister Farrakhan comes back on his own faith with no money from the past Nation of Islam, nothing from the past Nation of Islam, and just with his faith in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his love for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Allah, and his people, he resurrects. He starts the Nation of Islam all over again with a whole new set of people. So no matter what people think would happen between Elijah and Malcolm, that went with the old Nation of Islam. This is new. But no, that's not good enough. They got to come up with that same stuff now, because what they are after is the word, the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They want it stopped. And so if they were able to stop Mr. Farrakhan, which they will not be able to do, and somebody else 20 years from now would come up and teach the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and begin to motivate the people, and the people begin to flock to them, they will bring up Malcolm again. Oh, well, you Muslims, y'all kill Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we have to bring this to a head, to the end. We need to make them open up the files. Let's see.
Yes.
Let's see what really happened in those days. Let's see who really was responsible. There's so much I can talk about, but we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much.
Well, yes, sir, and so many profound points you made, and you know, it's just so critical that we as a people do as you have said. We've got to get to the bottom of this and uproot this cancer that is lurking in and among the black community. Because as the minister pointed out in the meeting at the Apollo Theater, May 6, 1995, where he stood on the stage with Dr. Betty Shabazz in unity. And I can't convey to us how delicate and the type of spiritually advanced human being it required to forge unity.
That's right.
Within a family that had been so horrifically torn apart. But you said something we really better pay attention to. The issue is even goes beyond Minister Farrakhan, in that the issue is who sits in the seat.
That's right.
Of the leader or spiritual leader of the Nation of Islam, of black people, and globally. And Minister Farrakhan represents the fullness of time. And so we can't do this anymore. We have to resolve this now, because the reason he is hated is not because of anything he has done wrong to anyone.
That's
what
right.
makes him a threat is leading us to our destiny. And
that's right.
And that's what we have to understand. And as you said, 50 years ago, it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it was his national spokesman, Malcolm X. Well, it's very interesting that the minister was right there. He was Louis X, the minister of then called Temple number 11 in Boston, Massachusetts. He was a local minister in the Nation of Islam. Now, whatever the government knows now, they knew then.
That's right.
And yet, no charges or accusations were leveled at Minister Farrakhan.
That's right.
At the time of the assassination, the light was put on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
And the Nation of Islam as an entity. But lo and behold, when Minister Farrakhan manifested as the chosen one
right.
to bring the nation back, and in 1985, when he came out in New York City to introduce an economic program
Come on.
the economic program for independence, and 50,000 people, black people, came out in New York City and brought Manhattan to a standstill. And one of the comments made by one of the Caucasian leadership at that time was, we never saw him.
Come on.
We slept him.
Come on.
And so we have to understand, brothers and sisters, this is not about a personality contest.
That's right.
And it's a mistake. And it breaks my heart when I see our people on Facebook and Twitter and just out in the public just talking without thought, just thoughtless expression of underdeveloped ideas and not knowing the wickedness of the enemy of our rise. So I appreciate that analysis, Brother Dr. Ridgely, because...
Yes, ma'am.
This thing is not to be played with, and we need to look very carefully at it.
Right, and you know, Sister Betty, she even spoke to me at the Million Man March. She spoke.
Yes, she did. And well, you kind of stole my thunder. I'm gonna bring that out Sunday, but I'm sure all the brilliant intellectuals that come on this show would have had that insight, but. Betty was at the Million Man March. She spoke at the march. Now look at this. Why would you being the enemy, why would you come back with this movie in 2013 and have this dialogue where all throughout this movie Betty is accusing the minister of being responsible for her husband's death, but yet following that in time, she was able to recognize who the real enemy was.
That's
and
right.
And stood up in unity with the minister. Why didn't you have that scene in the movie?
Come on, right.
See, it goes back to the whole Frankenstein effect. You know, you dig up a dead body and then put a head on it. You insert
right.
your brain into it.
Go ahead.
So we just better watch. I'm so glad you brought that up. We have proof that the minister succeeded in forging unity.
That's right.
With the family.
That's right.
Of Malcolm, and yet
right.
they're playing this stuff as though this is the current state of affairs.
Right. That's right.
But anyway,
well,
we gotta go right ahead, and then we'll go to the phones.
Okay. Well, you know, they just can't allow us. See, these people who claim to be Jews, who are the rulers of their white brethren. You know, the 1% who are those who claim to be Jews, over 99% of the Goyim are the Gentiles. They know who we are because they stole our birthright. The name Jacob even means the planter. And so they are fearful, and they're watching to make sure that Messiah doesn't come and raise us up so that we can have our destiny. And Minister Farrakhan goes all over the world, and wherever he goes, everybody runs to him. And so if you look at the history of Jesus and you look at Minister Farrakhan's history and what he's doing, you got to see the similarities. And when Minister Farrakhan embraced Qabila, and what people understand, he embraced Qabila before Betty Shabazz even knew Qabila was in trouble.
Come on.
Sure.
You can tell him about that history, Minister Abel. He embraced Qabila, and when he did
instantly.
And when he did that,
he found out.
If Jesus came back, Jesus couldn't do one better than that. Here's someone who has paid somebody to kill you, and instead of you saying, when she got in trouble, it was me. I would have said, when she got in trouble and she was trying to kill me, you know what I'm saying? Oh, praise is due to Allah. Allah took care of my enemy. But not Minister Farrakhan. That's why I say he's the next human being. He's not like us at all. He immediately went to her defense. This is truly a man of God.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir. Whew. Well, we've got Brother Hoyle holding, and he has a comment on the discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hoyle.
Well, alaikum salam, my sister, and all talented guest panelists. And I just want to thank you, sister, for an excellent defense you did Sunday.
Yes.
And I can't wait till this Sunday, sister.
Praise
be to Allah. I was just jumping up out of my seat. I was like, oh, praise be to Allah. Go ahead, sister. You know, it's a verse in the Quran called the slander.
Mm.
It says, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Woe to every slanderer and backbiter who has gathered wealth and counted it. He thinks that his wealth will make him last forever. Nay, really, he will be thrown into the crushing fire. And what will make you know what the crushing fire is? And that fire of Allah is kindled, which leaps up over the hearts. Really, it shall be closed in on them, and pillars stretched forth. They will be punished in the fire with pillars. Sisters, you know, they will never win. They can come at, you know, with all kind of conspiracies. You know, I've been hearing some of them a few years ago talk about college, too. You know, they want to bring that up, too. And, you know, it, like I said, let them open. They won't open the file. So they bring up these old, dead, antiquated, you know, the same thing, you know, that they know that sparks fire in the black community. But, sister, you just put the straight truth to them. I mean, what more can they do? But, like I said, Minister Farrakhan talked about the flood, the propaganda.
Yeah.
And we just have to be prepared, even as believers, you know, to not fall off our mark and be strong and steady. Look at these time and what must be done lectures. They are so, I mean, they're coming like, oh, I have to study each one. And I'm like, my head is blown. But, sister, I just want to just tell you thank you. I just want to listen and gather all the information that I know you and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence have a wealth of information, and I'm just, you know, we just have to put this in and just learn, because I know you got more to tell and more you want to probably share Sunday. But brothers and sisters out there in the listening audience, Savior's Day, this Sunday listen to Sister Ava, and every Thursday listen to this greatest show on the Blog Talk Radio, Sister Ava's Elevated Praise. As-salamu alaykum, sister. I'm going to let somebody else call in. Thank you. Thank you all for the good job.
Thank you, Brother Hoyle. But I'm starting to feel like I'm in that movie, one of those paranormal activity movies, because it's like you all are all in my lecture notes. Whoa to the and then everything you all bring up, you take it further than I had already. Yeah, I just got these little notes. But that was a wonderful, wonderful analysis, Brother Hoyle, and especially your caveat to us as believers, don't get pulled off the path.
That's right.
Because it'll happen in a way that you don't imagine, and a lot of times we think we're helping a situation.
Right.
And we have to get so locked in to our own purpose, because every one of us has a purpose, a divine purpose.
That's
and we've been taught that every one of us has an attribute or attributes of Allah, a combination of his attributes that's different from everyone else. Just
right.
like you have a fingerprint that nobody else has.
Yes,
Allah has measured out degrees of attributes of his and mixed them together in your DNA.
Yes,
and so you have to find out, as the minister found out.
That's right, man.
And he didn't just find it wandering around, you know, like Tweety Bird. This took profound dedication and love of his messenger and
love
of his people, love of God, for him to come upon the treasure trove that was himself.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the gift Allah has given us. He's given you. And
yes,
we're so busy running around trying to be with white people.
Yes, ma'am.
And trying to get their approval and be next to them. You know, as the Quran said, you know, Pharaoh promised them nearness to him.
That's right.
He didn't promise wealth and eternal life. He promised nearness to himself.
Right.
And that's what integration is. So, you know, we lose our mind so that we can shop in the same store with them.
Come on. That's right.
You know, and as
right.
a result of that, we fall into an abyss of ignorance and
mm-hmm.
disbelief, and we miss the joy of who we are. And
yes,
I remember
ma'am.
Mother Tineta Muhammad saying that you can never be envious of anybody
mm-hmm.
once you know who
that's
you
right.
are. Because, see, you're created to be satisfied with it when you find out what it is.
That's right.
I want to say one more thing, sister.
Yes,
you know, we have to go to the deep root of you know, you said Sunday. Go to the root of it. Our people are not the problem. I mean, we fall into it, but when you go to the root of what who's behind the writing the scripts, the Illuminati, it's not the black man and woman. You're God, you know? You just fall into that trap.
Precisely.
So, you know, every time you see the black man and black woman on a black apartment, you say, you're looking at God. So well, that's why it was so beautiful how the minister did, you know, said, that's my sister, you know.
That's
you
right.
got believers that got upset with her. I said, don't get upset. And I was talking to my father. He was talking about Illuminati. I said, Dad, I said, these people, they don't know what that means. They just acting along with, you know, they don't even know what the Freemasons about. They don't even know who, like I say, who's riding or walking, you know. So we just, once we know who we are, like you say, sister, we'll, you know, that's the knowledge of God, self, and the devil. Once we know who we are and who God, like, I mean, you put it just a minute ago, put it so beautiful. I'm just, like, blown away, you know. And it's sister, whew, let me go, sister. I'm gonna
yes,
listen.
Sir. Well, thank you, brother.
You know, like,
thank
I'm going to just put my little 2 cents in. But look forward to seeing you next, listening next week. And please make Savior's Day believers. Please.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless you.
And we have Dr. Salam on. I know he's going to bring it. Let's see if I can open up his mic. Dr. Salam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, family. It doesn't surprise me that they bring this up all over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one key point that people really need to realize, and that is the manner in which the enemy treats and labels the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan bears witness that they know who he is.
Mm.
They wouldn't come after him if he didn't have a value that they could not override.
Mm.
And I do what the messenger said. I observed everything. In the inauguration of President Obama, here is a man that they hate also, but not near the hate that they have for our dear brother and the Jesus in our midst. But at the inauguration, they kept the camera out on the lawn where we stood, and they announced that there were 2 million people that had gathered that day in the drizzle rain. And then the number lowered to 1.8 million.
Right.
And then somebody finally said, well, it's maybe 7 or 8,000 people there. They did not want the president to be reelected, but they can use him if he allows them to, as Secretary of State Clinton did on national radio to denounce the brother, but they can use him in another fashion. They can make a hero out of him if 2 million people came to witness him, because that number moves greater than our number. But that lie was nullified by their own people. Now, please listen to this. Now, if Minister Farrakhan is not the man, then who is?
Mm.
The minister called for 2 million people, and at least 88 to 90% of these people were Christians.
That's right.
Then I asked the devil, I asked the white man. I asked the modern-day Jews. I asked the crackers to bring forth a pastor that you own, maybe a Frederick Price or a T.D. Jakes, and let him call for $2 million and see can 80 or 90% Muslims come. It will not happen. The man of God brings slaves, no matter of the faith. They hear the word, they see the man, and they love him. But they will not separate us from God's men because of spiritual warfare will always be birthed through the resurrection of the dead.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful insight.
I'll hold on and listen.
Thank you, Dr. Salaam. Oh, I love these callers. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to continue this discussion. This is very profound, and just be joyful that we are in the fullness of time. So we'll be right back after a brief message.
That God, through the prophet, tells the people again and again, and we've been told today, most of us are not going to see that God has really come until this country has been brought low. Until the white man has lost his power, then most of us will see. The lucky ones will see spiritually prior to that, and those are the ones who shall be hidden in the days of God's wrath, which will break out not long after Minister Farrakhan departs. And that's very soon.
For more information, or to order authorized lectures and seminars by Brother Jibril Muhammad, call 719-581-2136. That number again is 719-581-2136, or email bjmhmd2000@earthlink.net.
Welcome back to Elevated Places. You have just listened to history.
Go ahead.
That was the first commercial.
Go ahead.
Aired on Elevated Places. And I can't think of a better product and service than Minister Jibril Muhammad.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And I hope that you read and study everything he has written and writes, his books and also his lectures and his weekly column in the Final Call newspaper, Farrakhan the Traveler. But that was exciting. And brothers and sisters, listeners, you are walking with us on the ground floor of this unique programming. And as I've always said, we want Elevated Places to be a forum where we can expose the brilliance and spiritual advancement of those right in our circle, whom Allah has blessed to be among us and blessed us to know. And so that was a sample of what will be happening after Savior's Day. We're going to be coming back on this show to talk to you about making use of the Elevated Places airtime that is available not just on Thursdays, but available every day of the week.
Listen.
Only thing we ask is that your message and your products and services be dignified and be based in truth and based in a desire to be of service to our people. So that was, and I want to thank our IT specialist, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, and Brother Bobby Muhammad, our researcher, and I'm going to have to add a marketing specialist to his repertoire.
Yes.
So let's go ahead with our discussion. We've got Brother Brian on the line, and he has a comment on the subject tonight. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Brian.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava, and the great Brother Terrence, and, of course, Dr. Wrigley. Yes, the great Dr.
It.
Wrigley. And, you know, Dr. Wrigley's presence on your show, Sister Ava, really speaks to the comment that I wanted to make. You know, one of the things that the minister, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, pointed out to us Tuesday night, and he was talking about, you know, our presence on Facebook and Twitter and the proper use of it. And I really wanted to just take a minute to reiterate something that was kind of talked on earlier, and that is the need to really study, you know, the need to really do your research, because, you know, I mean, we are the righteous and the best, as Master Farad Muhammad himself had called us. And this is a man who studied himself, as
they
taught, 42 years just to prepare for you know, what he came to do. And so, you know, this is what I want to encourage the believers, and really from the bottom of my heart, is to study, not just hear what Minister Ava said. It was a brilliant defense, by the way. I mean, sister, you really, you know, I can't say it enough, you know, as the rest have already said. But it the brilliance of it was that you brought the evidence.
That's right.
The brilliance of it was that you brought the after conversation, which is where we can parse what was said and go and do the research and bring that into our discussions with our people, because most people are not, a lot of people are not astute enough to really want to deal with the going after the truth of a thing. So we hear, okay, it's about Malcolm. We hear it's about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but there were dynamics going on, historical dynamics and differences that was going on that you can't get unless you really take the time to delve into the history and the information. So, and this is the day that we're living in. If we study the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, you can just stand up and preach. But he has a research team now, you know, who information together so that what comes out of his spirit, what comes out of his heart to the people, he can back up. That you can ask him 3 weeks from now, and he can tell you, or they can show you where to go and find the proof of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is saying. So we all have to engage now in that type of study or that type that effort. So that when we're on Facebook, we can you know, do as we see you doing and the minister doing, and present the evidence where people can go. And being online is so beautiful because you can always put a link to your proof, you know.
Right.
You know, so it's
right.
So I just want to encourage, because to me that was the brilliance, as I saw you, you know, walk through that subject. And I said, wow, this is how we got to do it. This is how we have to be, you know, because the people need the truth. And not just the truth, but the people need to be able to defend and back the truth. And I just want to say this before I hang up. We got to give kudos to the level that the Nation of Islam is working on now. You know, this, I understand that the defense of Farrakhan Book 2 is coming out this Savior's Day. You know, you have the Secret Relationship, Volume 1 and Volume 2, full of information, full of talking points. So we don't have to necessarily go on the emotion of the attack, but we can respond with, you know, supreme intelligence. And so I just wanted to say that, and sister, you're doing an excellent, excellent job, and I look forward to the coming weeks and what you have planned for the future of this show. So may Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Appreciate that. Appreciate that so much.
Can I add something here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to say something after you. But go ahead.
You didn't jump quick enough this time, bro.
I know.
but, you know, this is what we try to do with the research team and trying to put out information and in the books, in the Farrakhan Call newspaper, and also on NOIRG, Nation of Islam Research Group.com, NOIRG com, so that when people are in arguments with people on the internet, you can go and pull up these things and quote these things and bring them forth as evidence to fight your case for you, so that you won't be caught out there just in an emotional tip. So we want you all to use these things. That's why we're doing it. We're not doing it just to have a one-time shot in the final call. We want it to be as a resource for all those who want to defend the minister, something that is backed up by research, so that you can put them down with actual fact and then force them to come with actual fact, force them to go and do some studying if they want to defeat your argument, and then both people become enlightened. So thank you very much, Brother Brian. And we try to keep bringing it, but please use what we bring, because that's what we put it out there for. I'm like a farmer. I don't grow food to look at. I grow food for you to eat. So we write articles for you to use in the defense of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well said.
And, you know, I wanted to jump in here and just say one of the things that people got to always remember, that these are the life-giving teachings, not
yes.
preaching, are the
that's
most
right.
reliable part. Teaching. So what do we supposed to do? We're supposed to teach. And Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught how some people say, I have it to get and you have it, I have it and you have it to get. But he said a teacher makes sure that the students, you know, that everybody gets an A, everybody succeeds. So your level of teaching is based off your love and desire for your student or those paying attention to hear you and to receive some form of knowledge. And I think that's what Brother Brian is saying, the way it was laid out. You know, when we look at the definition of argue, you know, we always think of the emotion, but argue is not in, to argue doesn't mean emotion. It means to present reasons for or against the thing, to state the reasons for or against, to persuade, drive, to show, prove, imply, indicate something. So your teaching did that, and I think it's significant when we look at the college students that they are, and someone said, I was at a lecture last night, he said, how can you run and not go to class when the basis of going to college is to go to class? So we're in the class of God, so we should be in class studying so
that's
we
right.
can graduate into what we are eventually supposed to come. So the college student, you're in there for the sole purpose of research and study so you can graduate. So college students should be able to know how to take these teachings and these books to study, and they can actually form debates and actual teachings written out that can defend the minister. That's why I understand what Brother Brian said. What we have in the secret relationships between blacks and Jews is not emotions. It is hardcore facts of research from other
right.
scholars who the minister said, if you want us to denounce this book, denounce the research that we have done, because we have footnotes. And footnotes are used in every incredible research to make sure that you accredit others that have come before you, and we accredit those that we're asking. If you don't agree with the book, disagree with those that we have quoted and put as a footnote.
That's exactly right. And the number one person that this research helps you to convince is yourself.
Come on.
You know, everybody's not going to necessarily go out and engage in extensive dialogue with others, but all of us become ministers. We are disciples of the Jesus, and we are that in how we present ourselves. And once you study this information, it silences that side of ourselves, which is doubtful,
right?
Which has not yet grown sufficiently to resist Satan. You know, we grew up under Satan. We've been with him for a long, long time. And we've been made to look like him, act like him, think like him. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said, we're quick to come to his defense.
Come on.
And so what we first want to quell are thoughts in our own head.
Yeah. Right.
That come up when the enemy levels charges against our leader. We have to watch out for thoughts that come up in our own mind that
right.
give credence. That's the first thing we have to do. And once we are convinced
that's right.
of the truth and we're strengthened with the evidence to support that truth, we actually look and behave a certain way. We
yeah.
actually strengthen our own aura. And as we move through society, we're going to find ourselves become more effective, because I love what Brother Terrence just did in giving that explanation of what argument really is, because we always think of it as some people screaming at each other and throwing grits at each other, you know, and that is not the definition of it. It, you know, the Quran all throughout,
yes.
Allah says, do not men reason, do not men mind.
Yes.
Allah gave us a brain.
Yes.
And a mind to think with. And in order to come out of this slave-master relationship, as the minister said, what a disadvantage you are when you sit down to negotiate with someone and they know everything about you.
Come on.
And you don't know anything about them.
Come on.
And so secret relationship between blacks and Jews, it's not libel and slander and defamation, it's exposure.
Right.
Not for you to hate somebody, but
yes.
for you to know who you're dealing with.
That's right.
Right.
And the exposure is not just for historical purposes. The exposure is to understand the techniques that they're still using today.
Today. Nothing's
right.
changed.
Nothing has changed. And so what they've done with this movie, it's a continuation of the games they've played with people's minds who they're subjugated for the last 4,000 years. It's the same
right.
game where they keep bringing up Malcolm, and I believe that Malcolm is going to be the one to take them down. I'm not going to get no deeper with it, but I believe Malcolm is going to be the one that takes them down and grabbed hold of him one time too many.
Teach. Yes. I love that. One time too many.
That's right.
All right. We've got Brother Malik is on the line, calling right from Chicago. Assalamu alaikum. Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Okay. I think the call dropped, so hopefully he'll dial back in. So in the meantime, we'll go on to Brother Lewis, and he has a question and comments. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Lewis.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How y'all doing?
Wonderful. Okay. Wonderful, sir. Good to
boy,
hear you.
Boy, we thoroughly enjoy the show each week, and really, Dr. Ava and Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, Sister LaDonna, the whole team, you really are creating something like a gym-like atmosphere for all of those of us who would like to study techniques and learn how to become fighters.
Mm.
And when we saw you on last Sunday, we were so proud down south. You just came out like a ferocious young Tyson or somebody. Just a knockout on the enemy. We were on the edges of our seat because we know that if we would promote that type of truth, we
yes.
could liberate our people mentally. And all of those of us who listen, you said earlier in the show that it's a role that all of us can play.
That's
and
right.
So we should try as best we can to promote this information.
That's right.
And get other people to listen so that we can knock the devil's brains out with truth, that is, you know.
Yes, sir.
I saw something in the Seven Speeches, the book, interviews of Minister Farrakhan, where he was doing an interview with Joe Walker. And Joe Walker asked him a question about propaganda and attacks. And the minister said that according to the study of propaganda and the object of propaganda, the aim of propagandists is to affect the lives of his target by studying the psyche of his target, studying the mind of his target, studying the emotions of his target. In 1959, a great barrage of propaganda was unleashed against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. And I won't read the rest of it, but in 1959, you remember, that's when the hate that hate produced
was
put out, and where the Big Six so-called leaders at that time began to meet with Mike Wallace and others and talked about what they were going to do with black nationalists and so-called black Muslims. Would you think, Sister Ava, in this type of climate now, that they are revisiting, as you would say, some of their old tricks, because their goal was to slow the Nation of Islam down economically, and the idea of being separated from our open enemy and constant oppressor? And it seems like now, with Minister Farrakhan's college tours, with many people listening, and a reviving spirit of black nationalism as well as just activism in the community, it seems like the curtains of Midian are starting to shake a lot these days. And would that be a reason for them to bring back this old Malcolm X stuff? The last thing I want you to elaborate on that, if y'all would, I wanted to ask you, is there significance now of the Pope of Rome resigning? And we noticed that with him resigning, and we have a black president, they're courting a black pope. Is there a significance of that type of, is it deception? Is it a significance right now? And I'll be listening, but please, y'all, promote this show and what we're trying to do to get this truth out to everyone.
Yes,
thank y'all.
Assalamu thank alaikum. You. Thank you.
Lakin. Go ahead, Minister
awesome.
David.
Yes,
do that whole thing.
Well, all I know is the first reaction I had, my husband and I looked at each other, and I said, can he do that?
Right.
I thought he was God's vicegerent.
He's tired. He said he's tired.
Well, I mean, like, it's like he works at McDonald's or something. I don't want to do this anymore. I didn't know it was.
Well, you know, maybe he had a vision. You know, the minister had a vision and about the Pope, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Yes, that's my, you know, my worst enemy." And it seems like they're trying to run from something and leave it to somebody else to deal with. It's
right.
Getting hot, I guess. Did you see that lightning bolt that hit the church
Vatican,
there?
It
in
came
the
out on top. Yeah, I saw that. Oh my God! Yes.
Oh my God! I mean, I guess it's.
Yes.
Oh well, but you know, we can't speculate on what they're up to. We just have to wait and see what they're up to. But whatever they're up to, Allah is going to guide the minister to do the right thing. You know, the minister always makes it very clear that it is not he, but it is those that are in him and work through him that always keep them ahead of whatever they throw at him. So no matter what they do, we just sit back and enjoy the fight, because Minister Farrakhan will do the right thing at the right time because he knows the time and what must be done.
That's right. And
that's
the
right.
messenger
and
said no coincidences.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
It's certainly not a coincidence that the Pope at age 85 says, I don't have the energy to do this anymore. I was always of the belief that, I mean, all of us have a decrease in energy at some point, you know, as time passes. But, you know, you don't see Queen Elizabeth stepping down. I mean, she's going to be there till she's incapacitated or dead.
Right.
If you're in the role of supposedly Peter. Is that
that's
I'm
right,
not
Peter.
Completely knowledgeable of the Catholic.
It's Peter. Yeah, right. It's Peter.
So how do you just say, well, I'm done,
yeah,
and you pass it on? So something definitely is going on behind the scenes. We don't know what it is yet, but I think you're right, Dr. Ridge. I think that they are positioning themselves for the final conflict, And I don't think he's the one that they want to put out there.
Mm. So, Dave, I want to go back to something Brother Brian said as far as our study, and he liked the advancement of the nation. One of the things that when Brother just called in and he mentioned he loved how you did the lecture. I know we were talking offline. I said, this wasn't one of your, like, you hit that level and you blow up and you start exploding, you can hear the fire. Whereas we were saying, it was very calculated, very skillful, done to the point that the emotions hit you or the excitement hit you just off hearing and the information, not necessarily the energy that you put.
Mm, yes,
and I say that because one of the things that you did that we have to do is go back, because all of the defense of Minister Farrakhan, he has already given us.
That's
so
right.
What you did is say, no, I'm going to let him land his own plane.
That's right.
So to find
indeed.
That clip, you have to have it. Like, I got books and books and books and DVDs. I buy just about everything. Have I seen all of them? No. But when I need them for the appropriate time, I can go into my DVD library, my VHS library, or my book collection, pull it out in defense of whatever argument that we need to go. So it was timely that you found that particular one with her on the stage so people can see that and actually see her reaction to the words that he was saying. So we need to learn how to do the exact same thing. So when he said we are showing how to defend, this is how you defend. You use his words, and as we look at the secret relation, you don't have to argue with somebody. So when you what the minister has taught us, proper preaching. You know, he had that lecture years ago, preach. You don't preach Christians Muhammad, you preach Jesus to Christians.
That's
but
right.
You got to know Jesus as you watch the minister. One of my friends said, Brother Terrence knows Jesus but more than the Christians know Jesus, because when I'm around them, I quote Jesus.
Come on.
And so you have to know the audience, and one of the things I will close out on is that if somebody ever went into, you know, when he went into the industry, it was Snoop Dogg that came to save his day and talked about the beef between the East and the West Coast, and people believed Snoop. It was Dougie Fresh just at the inauguration hip-hop ball that he brought up Minister Farrakhan and him diffusing the beef between the East and the West Coast. So those historical notes that we got to always remember, so when the enemy comes left or comes right, and we actually got to go back to those old lectures and bring them back to this younger generation that didn't come up with this or hear the minister say this. So we have to bring back up the words of the minister. And I'm just blessed that I came in that fiery time of the 90s where I was blessed. I'm glad that Dr. Ridgely came in 93 because I joined in 95. And before I got registered, I traveled with him and saw what it was to be an FOI on a roll and following this man going city to city to city to city and literally checking the thousands of people that came out to hear him. People need to know that history and the love that people still have for Minister Farrakhan.
That's exactly right. There's nothing better than him. Because there's a genetic and spiritual bond between him and our people. And that's really our job. Every time the enemy tries to pull the plug, we just need to plug it back in. That's all we have to do. We're not the source of electricity, the mysterious
that's
electricity.
Right.
We don't know what it is, and we don't have to know. But we know how to take a wire and plug it into a wall. We should know that much. The thing that drew us, we should give that to our people. Don't get in the way.
That's right.
You know, let them get what we got.
Mm-hmm.
That attracted us. And I think that's a flaw today in our approach is, you know, under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he said do it, they did it. And they were not necessarily as educated, the followers I'm talking about.
That's right.
They were not as educated or advanced, and then we have all of this technology. But what they did have was faith
That's
and
right.
belief and a willingness to submit. If we say this is God's man, then
right.
where's the willingness to act accordingly?
Mm.
We're not acting accordingly, and that is holding us back
yes.
from our destiny. And
well,
so
you know,
I love what you're saying. If you go through that lecture, what
yes.
made the lecture so powerful really was him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
right.
all you're doing is pointing at the sun, going out there and get, yeah, your mother would tell you growing up, going out outdoors. Your parents are like, going outside, get some air, get some sun. These children today, they never go outside.
Mm.
They're always in front of a computer screen or sitting somewhere texting with their
right.
head bent, as the minister said, a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
They're not looking up into Allah's universe, into his creation,
right.
and drawing life and wisdom and understanding from that. And so we need to stop getting in the way and just point the way.
That's right.
Right.
Because it's
right.
already coded into the DNA of everybody alive at this time to go in that direction. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Mm. Go ahead.
Because if we're not on Allah's mind, and if we're not a thought in his
mm.
mind, we don't exist.
Mm.
Mm. Go ahead.
Because there's nothing living that's beyond him. He's Alpha and Omega. So if we exist, the only way we can exist is as a thought in his brain.
Right.
There is no other way. And so we have to know how to stay on his mind. And that's why we pray.
That's right.
So that not for him, but for ourselves. And
that's
why
right.
the Quran said Allah would not even care for you were it not for your prayer.
Mm.
You know, so I'm going off on a soapbox. Let's get back to the phones. Brother Malik is back.
Oh, you're just teaching. That's all, sister. That's all you just teaching.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Malik.
Yeah, wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. Definitely was enjoying that, though. For real.
Sister Allah. We're glad you came
brother,
back on.
Yeah, Brother Dr. Reggie, assalamu alaikum, Brother Taz.
Hey, assalamu
alaikum. Yes, I know you've heard it a million times, but I got to come back. Man, you caught me off guard Sunday, and you made us so proud. You really, really did. And, man, I'm just, you know, man, that was one of the best ever.
Praise
but when I remember I wanted to weigh in on the Mary J. Blige thing, and I kind of had the same reaction. I think Dr. Ava, when you first saw it, like, oh my God, kind of
mm-hmm.
felt kind of the same way. I didn't think negative about the sister, but
right.
the thing that you alluded to last week was that in the face of all this knowledge and information that's out here with the minister, you know, the minister is always a phone call away. You know, if something is not clear about him or there's some type of negativity that you're being asked to participate in against him, and you have knowledge of that. You know, you do have a duty to consult him if you know him like that. You know what I'm saying? That was I didn't feel personal with Mary J., but that was just my overall sentiment.
Yes.
Like, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, I'm sure when you watch a movie that you're in, you're going to look at the movie. You want to see how you played out in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
you saw the negativity. You saw what you were participating in. You know, it's not like the devil, you didn't see that. You know, so I'm glad the minister went and dealt with that sister, you know, in the way that he dealt. Because one
yeah.
thing about designers, what they do, they get these artists in a lot of bad positions. They look good to us on the screen.
Cool.
Their money be messed up. They have all type of scandals on them. You know, they get them into these crazy, mad parties and film it. You know what I'm saying? And they
come
think,
on.
You know, those
that's,
artists under a lot of pressure.
That's
right.
You know, and in fact, a brother that is knowledgeable of Hollywood told me, like Wesley Snipes and these brothers that we look up to, you know, what they do is they'll give them like $5 or $10 million, but the movies haven't even been made yet.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's paid
right.
them in advance. And it's scripts, but once they pay, and in the Jew, what he do is he make sure you run through that money fast.
Mm.
And then you get into debt. So if he give you $10 million, you're going to end up spending $20 million. So you're really over leveraged.
You know what I'm saying? So you're really not in a position once they start coming with these, like Wesley Snipes, they let him play the tough role, remember? He was our brother. We looked up to him a little bit, and guess what?
Yes.
He got to put on the dress, brother.
That's it.
And you would have thought,
right.
Brother Wesley came through the nation.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, he got, you know, how could you put on the dress? But my brother had gave me an inside track of how these Jews manipulate this type of stuff they do. You know, so I appreciate them. Like the minister said, you can't fathom the depth of this hate, you know.
Right.
And the minister went out there, and I'm sure that's why that sister broke down and cried, because he probably broke it down to her so, you know, so strong. He probably freed her from the negative satanic forces that be gripping our artists, man, to get them involved into these type of things, man. But like you said, Dr. Avery, you know, we are in a time where, you know, ignorance is really being removed. You know, you can't say, you know, minister, you know, something is not clear about the minister, you know.
That's
you gotta,
right.
You know, make sure. You know what I'm saying? And that was the only thing that I felt funny about. I would have never attacked the sister personally, but, you know, I mean, like the minister said, I'm pretty sure he told her, you know, you got to resist the devil and he will flee. You know, you just got to stand up, man, you know. And I remember when he was down in Atlanta, he was telling the sister, you know, because they be, you know, getting them sisters and all type of stuff, man. And he said, call me. You remember he said, I think he was telling the sister, I forgot the artist. But he said, call me, man. We'll come down there, man, and handle that, man. If they put so much pressure on you, call us up, you know. If they try to exploit you and get you involved in things you don't want to be involved in. So that's just my two cents. And, Dr. Dave, I'm looking
forward to you. Excellent observation. And it helps us. It helps us to have understanding and sympathy and empathy for one another. You know, and this is why I think the minister in my openings for being sensitive to the plight of black people. Because it's really hypocritical on our part, the way we are with each other.
Come on.
Because we claim, okay, we know black people were in bondage for 400 years. We were tortured in Jim Crow. But then the first mistake or error one of us makes, we're ready to just crush each other to the ground.
Right.
But we can walk around with this beast. You know, I was thinking about the other day, those four little girls in Birmingham. You know, they decapitated those girls. They blew them to pieces in Sunday school. But yet we can go and get along with them and be together with them at the Grammys. So damn happy. Like the minister said at the Apollo, you know, without consideration or a reparation, we're happy to be with the white man. But when one of us makes a mistake, we're ready to pull out the noose. And we just have to stop being led by the enemy.
That's
and the thing I love most about the minister, one of the multitude of things I love about him, is he tells white people to mind their business.
Yes.
And that's the whole thing about the Malcolm issue. The first thing we have to do is get them out of the conversation.
Yes.
They have one thing they need to do. Open the files.
That's right.
That's all we want from them. We don't want to hear their opinion. We don't want to hear their viewpoint. We're not interested. I attach no value to nothing they think. But all you need to do is open the files, and you won't do it. Why?
Well, we need to start a movement, Minister Avery. We need to start a movement somehow to get them to open the files. Maybe we need to even petition the president. We really got to think about this because if it's important, and it is, and we've gone these other methods, and the minister asked him back in 1995 to open the book. They just refuse to open the books. We need to force them to open the books. What are they hiding?
That's right.
Well, if they,
we can't let it go.
If they were to try to bring the minister, like what the minister did allude to, that's still on the table, trying to bring him in on that Malcolm X murder. But then they would have to open the books if they actually tried to push that through a legal system, right, Dr. Abel?
Well, if they were law-abiding people.
Right.
But see, the problem is, if they open the files, it shuts down the case because he's not guilty of it.
Right.
So if they open the files and told the truth, they could, and that's why they haven't prosecuted him. If they had evidence against him, that could result in them dragging him into court and locking him up in prison, they would have done it.
Long
would have done
trust
it.
And believe.
Yeah.
That's right.
They would have done it.
Right.
But thank you so much, Brother Malik. Appreciate
oh,
your
yes,
call.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
All right. Walaikum salam. We got a sister on the line. I want to get to her because we're down to 10 minutes, believe it or not. the time flies when you're telling the truth.
That's right.
So we have Sister Amina Mariam on the line. And Sister Amina?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Sister Ava and the panel. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me, please.
Oh, take your time. This is we're just talking.
I wanted to express the message that you gave on Sunday in this way. I actually saw the art of war in terms of your strategy and the way you presented it.
Ooh, come on.
This little book called The Art of War, I've had it for some time, and it has some valuable information in it. And I just want to share a couple of sentences, if I may.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
It says, the art of war in such a way as to recommend itself to the modern day is the manner in which power is continually tempered by a profound undercurrent of humanism.
Hmm.
It also says the art of war is thus a book not only of war, but also of peace. Above all, a tool for understanding the very roots of conflict and resolution. And as I watched you present the lecture on Sunday, and I'm really excited about this upcoming Sunday, that it was ever so beautiful when you shared that particular clip from the Apollo Theater.
Yes, ma'am.
Which I had forgotten somewhat, but it refreshed my memory over time. And it was,
yes.
I just wanted to express
yes.
that this book, The Art of War, is something we all should have in our library, because it's amazing to me how when I pick this book up and I read certain things out of it, that I can see the outcome of the words that are coming up from this book in terms of the strategy that I find with many of you as student ministers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I just want to thank you for this program.
Yes.
I listen just about every Thursday since you've been on. And so I just have to say I'm truly thankful for being a part of this, if no more than a listener, but I had to comment this evening. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Well, you certainly enlightened us, Sister Amina. I took notes.
And I will say this. I saw something that I do not know how to play, but I know they're giving lessons out at Savior's Day how to play chess. And one of the things I saw something on Facebook today, they said, what does a queen do for a king? She protects the king. So in chess, you know, I'm wondering, were you a chess move by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I mean, he kind of moved the queen down to Atlanta to be the first sister over a mosque in the Islamic world. Then he positioned her, you didn't hear from him. Then this queen pops back up in Chicago. And is defended where everybody's saying that one is the best lectures of a defense of Farrakhan they've heard. Now, let's be clear. I love Brother Ishmael. I love hearing Nuri. I love Brother Abel. And that we love that because we love when we are being ourselves. Rasul does his thing. Sharif, Robert, all of the regionals, Kadir, they do their thing. And when we are not envious and jealous, and we are literally vibing off of one another.
Yeah,
so we can see the minister sitting there and say, go ahead, Sister Ava. I know Dr. Ridgely. He really enjoyed it. Now he's getting fueled. Now he's hearing to do some research. And his research, you're going to be sitting by, wow. And we vibe off one another. So now the minister is putting people in certain places. He is a master strategist. And
wow.
He is practicing and living out the art of war.
Hey,
that's why
ahead.
We have to follow him.
That's right.
And listen to him. And as the Quran talks about, just submit. Faith is not entered through your heart. Just submit.
Just
don't
submit.
Worry about what's going on. If you believe, and that's where we have to come into the knowledge of God, not the belief of God, when we know God is Master Prophet Muhammad, then we'll know that God chose the messenger, and we believe and know the messenger is that, then we can know that Minister Farrakhan is in line. So if you know he is divinely guided, not believe, then you will just fall in line, and you will be riding along with him as he's making these moves, and you don't even know bombs were going off behind you, in front of you, because
right.
It's a smooth ride with Farrakhan.
Come on. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Wow.
Ahead.
Well, we're down to the bottom of time for now. But we're going to take one last call from Brother Amir. He's been on for a little while. Brother Amir, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, family. How's everyone?
Wonderful, sir.
Sister Ava, I just wanted real quick, if you can just weigh in, or any other the scientists on the line can weigh in, on the brother out of California.
Uh-oh.
Who his manifesto, uh-oh, the original manifesto is so deep.
Oh, yes. God,
and
really.
how is it that we have all black men that's in the mass media right now? We have the minister.
Ooh.
We have Obama.
Ooh.
We have their brother from California.
Ooh.
And now we have the black African who's supposed to be the Pope. What's the significance of all those black men who are the top of the media at this moment in time? Can you weigh in?
Oh, thank you. I think I'll be sitting at Savior's Day to get that analysis.
Right.
That's, ooh. No, seriously. The only thing I will say is about the brother in California, the white couple that was on today, that he took hostage briefly, and the other white man that whose truck he took, all three of them talked about his calm. And they talked about the couple, the wife said, she said, I prayed for him.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to see, even though he had done wrong, I did not want to see him die or want him to die. And the only thing I could draw from that is their encounter with him. And that brief encounter, you know, we were talking earlier about energy, and you were saying, Brother Terrence, about the minister. See, they picked up something about him that is far deeper than we could ever ascertain by what we're getting in the news.
That's right.
And that's all I can say, because I'm looking to hear from the minister on that, because Brother Amir brought up something very potent to end with, all these black men.
And you know, the brother, only thing he wanted was to redeem his name. And here,
right.
You know, the name, and now they're trying to smear the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad.
Wow.
And this
wow.
brother, all he wanted was to clear his name. That's the importance of a name.
And he said he didn't have a life without that.
Without that. And none of us do. And we're just living some type of shadow, because we not have our proper name and don't live up to what we're supposed to live up to. So that manifesto was deep. The brother could really write, and it was really just that they took away his good name.
Mm-hmm. Well, beloved, this has been a very thought-provoking and spiritually uplifting program. I look forward to seeing all of you at Savior's Day. Remember, Elevated Places will air live from the
That's
Chicago
right.
Hilton, 7 p.m. Central, next Thursday. Savior's Day begins the 21st, and it culminates on the 24th of February at the UIC Pavilion, where we will hear from the one and only Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank the Elevated Places team, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, Brother Bobby Muhammad, our contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and, of course, all of you, the listeners and contributors, with your thoughtful insight every week. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.